Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the OHIO Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. And with us tonight is our special guest, Florida Corey from Scarlet and Great. Florida Corey, welcome to the OHIO Podcast. I need to slow down. I'm so excited about the game.
Do you remember that segment that Juck cut up on you?
Yeah,
you
got another Chris, one coming. Come on. The internet lives forever. Corey, how's it going tonight, man?
It's going good. Thank God we finally got a game under our belts, right? We've been waiting 8-9 months to see this team in action and finally got to see them on Saturday. That was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it feels good. Feels good to have football. Football's playing on right now in my recording studio / office. So it feels good to have football back. Life feels normal again. So I'm thankful for that. So, man, I'm telling you. This was the longest offseason as a Buckeye fan I've ever experienced. You had your rival winning it all, rubbing your face in it. You have the greatest offseason as far as talent acquisition and keeping talent we've ever experienced. You put those two things together, man, and it has just been wild. It has been a wild offseason. But nonetheless, I am thankful that we have things back up and running and football is here. All right, guys, we are the official Ohio State podcast of Scarlet and Game. Go over to scarletandgame.com. If you don't like the way our faces look, no problem. You can listen to the audio version of our podcast over at Scarlet and Game and check out all those great articles. We are also the official Ohio State podcast of the College Huddle. Go check out thecollegehuddle.com. Read a bunch of articles from myself, JR, other great writers, and there are 74 other podcasts with our own from all kinds of schools across the country. The newest member, Miami Knights, the U, has joined the College Huddle, a great podcast over there. In the chat right now, we have Greg. Greg is with us. Eduardo. Ginger is with us. We have Maddie 999777. Let's see here. Sam, Greg McMahon, the AB Tanker 58, C Dubs in the house with us tonight.
Now C-Dubs had a great comment further down that we can't really, I don't think, throw that one out there, but you just got to look at it and chuckle.
Tyler's with us. Sean Schrock got a wrench with us tonight. David Gilmore, good to see you tonight, David. He said it was an excellent day to spend by the pool today. Here is the cues. Oh, okay. Jake Detweiler watching the game now. Jake, just do yourself a favor. Skip the first half.
First quarter specifically.
Okay, first quarter specifically. All right. I will never get through the whole chat. In time here. Ryan Wickerham, good to see you tonight. How was the tailgate yesterday? I saw some videos. Looked like it was a fun time. Mika's with us. Hi, Mika. Good to see you tonight. Dennis, good to have you with us tonight. Sarah Boggs, I know her. Good to have her with us tonight. Emily, welcome back. Ryan Day's Beard, good to see you.
I like that name.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where goes one? All right. Dre Fame. Oh, we know Dre. Listen, Dre's a good dude. Even though he roots for the team up north, he's a good dude. He goes, my guys, keep doing what you're doing. It's a time to be alive. See y'all in November. And of course, he throws a go blue at us.
They got a big one coming up.
He said, oh yeah, I know y'all know who Brohio is, who he is. Y'all know I came to talk a little. Yeah, I know who he was. He's a paid actor. That ain't no Ohio State fan in their right mind would have a Wolverine figure on their desk. I'll tell you that much right now.
I don't know that anybody in their right mind would have a Wolverine figure on their desk.
Not voluntarily, no. I mean, I love the Wolverine character. I do in the comics, but I never had a character on my desk, so I don't get it. So.
Matty B from Australia, he gave us a call last night after the game. Good to have you with us, Matty B. It's Monday over there. The Paws Up podcast, that's one of our sister podcasts from College Huddle. Why did Akron post a giant tire in front of Ohio Stadium yesterday? They did? A giant tire? Was that Ohio State? I saw the touchdown tire that never got used yesterday. I saw that. Derek, good to have you with us tonight, my man. Good to see him. He said Brohio looked like a goof. Yeah, it's not Ohio State.
I got accused of being Brohio, actually.
Did you?
Yeah. I think it was a joke, but yeah, they said it looks like him in disguise. I'm like, no. It's not. I'm not that skinny.
Oh my gosh. It's
that
called
funny. You know?
Yeah. Ryan Day's Beard said it's called a turnover tire, like the turnover glasses and chaining the rest of them. Yeah, if it was the turnover tire, they didn't get in any of those too. That was flat.
What is with that? It's like it's turnover everything. Turnover toilet brush. I mean, what it's like they just making things up now. Like
a big toilet brush on a chair.
Yeah, exactly.
Did somebody check the turnover glasses for a camera? That's all I want to know, man.
That's funny. All right, guys. So here's how this show goes. If you guys have not watched us following a game on Sunday night for our roundtable, we usually bring a guest in if we don't just have the entire home team with us. And we go through yesterday's game very specific. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to give our reactions. Then we're going to hand out Buckeye leaves, and we're going to give the offense and defense a grade. It's what we do. It's what we've been doing for 6 years now. It's kind of a tradition that we've holds true. So in the chat, when we're going through these things, we want you to participate. And then after that, after our commercial break, if there's any time left, we're going to take your guys' questions. Corey, do you have anything tomorrow or anything you got to go to, or are you free to go for a little while tonight?
Oh, go for as long as we want, man. I do got to work, but I'm good. Don't worry about it. I got my coffee in the morning. I'll be awake.
All right, let's do this. Let's roll. Hi, Renata. Good to see you in the chat tonight. I'm going to start with you first, Chris. Your initial reactions, we kind of gave those yesterday on the live after show, but I kind of want to get your feel for what you think.
Well, you know, I think we were all initially really disappointed in how the first quarter started. But, you know, in hindsight, having watched the game again, having had a few minutes to kind of think about things, you know, you mentioned it last night, Eric, there's no preseason in college football. We had some young guys out there, guys in position for the first time. There were some nerves going on. You know, and it wasn't just Ohio State. You look around college football, with the exception of maybe Georgia and everybody else in the SEC who played an FCS team, you know, it was not easy going for anybody. And you look around the Big Ten, I mean, Oregon struggled. Michigan struggled. Penn State started out slow. I mean, they ended up pulling away from West Virginia in the end, but they started out slow. You know, that first quarter in Penn State, West Virginia was the worst game I'd ever seen. And nobody wanted to keep a hold of the ball. You know, but you think about it, Ohio State, and you look at it, they scored more points than any other team in the Big Ten that actually played an FBS team. They scored more points, or as many points nearly, as Michigan and Oregon combined. And one played an opponent that was on par with Akron, and the other one played, you know, an FCS team. You know, for people who were starting to panic, I think you just need to sit back, realize this is a process. Game one to game two, you're going to see growth. Game two to game three, you're going to see huge growth. You know, and we did not give up a touchdown yesterday. We gave up the fewest number of points in the Big Ten to any team that was not playing an FCS team. So, guys, just everybody needs to relax, myself included, because I was a little amped yesterday, especially at the start of the game. But, you know, this team's going to be all right. This is going to be a very good team by the time we reach the end of the season.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. We watched it together, Chris, and so yeah. Sometimes when you're at a watch party with a big Buckeye fan, you can feed off each other's negativity at the moment. And so it was funny because when I woke up this morning, and you know, you kind of let it simmer and sink for a little while, and you kind of digest it all, and then you go back. If you're like me, you're a glutton for punishment. You'll go back. You'll watch it again to see what things you missed. Because I was really hard on that offensive line.
Yeah.
And they didn't play as bad as I thought they did, the left side. There were some times they did make some holes. Now, were they consistent? No. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But it wasn't as bad as I, you know, the line play and the linebacker play was not as bad as I felt it was in the moment. And all things considered, I thought it was pretty good. Corey, what were your thoughts after watching the game yesterday?
Kind of like you guys, in the moment, we're negative, right? You know, it's like, this is Akron. We've been hyping ourselves up all offseason. It's going to be the best offense in Ohio State history. It's insane. Chip Kelly's on board. Let's see what they do with the new revamp offensive line. And then you're just seeing the same old problems. And then early on, not throughout the game, but early on. And you're thinking, man, it's just never going to get fixed. This is just who Ryan Day is. You know, you start making those dramatic conclusions based off a quarter and a half. And what puts it in perspective for me to get back right in the head is when I see other fans on X saying the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. Like, this defense is terrible. Like, really? The defense is terrible? Are you sure about that? Or, you know, Will Howard's terrible. Are you sure about that? You know, Judkins is a bust already. It's just you just see those idiot overreactions that really push it back in your own brain. Like, okay, it's just the first quarter of the first season or of the season. Let's relax a little bit. The good thing about the game, though, on the macro level, is that it was choppy in the first half, better in the second quarter, but choppy in the first half. And then it didn't remain choppy. They just started to dominate. Started to make plays, and they started to do the things that you expect this team to do. Second half, it was just complete dominance. So I was in 35-3 second half. They did things you expect them to do. Even their backups were dominant. And you're like, okay, the team settled down. Obviously, there's some nerves. There's some kinks to work out, some bugs. They've been playing each other for a month. You can't expect them to just come out and, you know, when they have to go against an opponent, you know, there's that not knowing what's going to happen aspect to the game. Instead of just playing each other in different drills and things like that and scrimmages all month like they've been doing in August. So I actually was very encouraged by how they responded to some adversity early on. I know it's Akron. I get it. Akron's terrible. I get it. But they you're right. Like you said, they didn't allow a touchdown, didn't allow many yards. They literally knocked a quarterback out. They hit him so often. And that poor kid, geez, that coach hates that kid for some reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I think several players look great. I think Sawyer's – I mean, we'll get back into it. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get the detail. We'll get into it as we go on. But I actually came away encouraged at the end of the game.
Yeah, I am much more encouraged today. And maybe it was watching Oregon struggle and watching the team up north not look
against Idaho.
Yeah, that was so okay. It did not surprise me that the team in the Hornonas and Arbor struggled yesterday. That didn't surprise me. We all kind of first off, we know Fresno State is a pretty good group of five school. We all knew that, right? Second is they are who we thought they are. They're exactly who we said they were, Chris.
Yes.
They're going to try to run the football because they don't have a passing game. They don't have a quarterback. And then on top of that, defensively, they're very strong. And they were opportunistic. And because they're opportunistic defensively, that made the score look better than what it really was. But here's the thing. Like, they have no depth. None. Zero. Nada. Nothing. And as the season wears on, that's going to catch up to them. And I think they know that now. So there was a question here from Jeb Elmo. Do you foresee Chip Kelly being up in the booth more on the field? I think he's going to be up in the booth all year.
Yep.
I think that's where Ryan Day wants him. And that's where he's going to go.
I think that makes the most sense.
It does.
Yeah.
He needs that viewpoint. So
yeah, absolutely. So here were some of my thoughts today. And if you went back, if you haven't, go back and watch our live yesterday, after the game, our post game reaction. The offensive line, the two areas of concern were offensive line and linebackers, specifically the left side of the offensive line. You don't have your All-American starting left guard, number one, and you don't have your team captain, the block O recipient, in the middle of your defense, number two. And those were the two areas that seemed like they weren't solidified the most. So, okay, good. But here's the good news with that. Let me twist it and swing it and show you guys the good news with that. If those guys are going to deal with injuries or lingering injuries throughout the year, you got meaningful reps and snaps at those positions
specifically.
And so those are valuable. Those are so valuable. And so that's the positive we can go for that. Now, there was a comment in the video that I made earlier today that was posted. And I forget who might have been Emily who asked the question. She said, do you think, and this was, I thought this was a really good question. She said, do you think the offense looked as clunky as it did because it was scripted? And because it was scripted, they stayed true to that script, even though it wasn't schematically the best thing for them to do offensively in the first quarter. What an insightful question. I said, I don't know, but it makes you wonder. Corey, what's your thoughts on that question?
Well, I do have one real quick on the offense. Somebody actually commented, oh, this looks like Ryan Day is still calling the plays. I'm like, what game are you watching? That didn't look anything like Ryan Day at all. I just had to get that off my chest. Sorry, because that blew me away. Somebody saw that or thought that. But, you know, I think Chip Kelly was trying a lot of different things because I think he knows he could. And I do think there's a merit to the script idea. I think he probably went in with the idea, hey, we're gonna see what we have, because you know you don't know for sure until you get the bullets flying against another team, and you know it's a team that you're vastly superior, more talented than by a mile, that you can get away with certain things. And they rotated a lot of offensive linemen. Some guys I didn't even think were gonna play ended up playing. I think they rotated 8-9 guys over time. So I think they went into this game almost like experimental. In a lot of ways, I don't think that's truly what we're going to see going forward 100%. I think we're going to find our base and then move on from there. I think that's kind of what Chip Kelly was doing, knowing we could do that against Akron, because it looked like we were trying just 15, 20 different things. There was times I thought the play calling was fantastic. Times I thought I was wondering what in the heck we were doing. But specifically, I actually overall liked the positions that Chip Kelly was putting the offense in and seeing. I think he was just kind of seeing what he has. Almost felt like Hoosiers in a way. It's like, I'm breaking them down and I'm building them back up just to see what kind of base we can go with going forward in the season.
Yeah. Chris, your thoughts on that question, man. Was the offense being scripted possibly one of the reasons why it looked so clunky at first?
It's very possible it was, yeah. I mean, I think that they went in there with a plan to try these things. And I think we're going to see something similar. I don't think we'll see as much clunkiness But I think we're going to see something similar in the game versus Western Kentucky. They're going to experiment a lot. Western Michigan. They're going to experiment a lot. They're going to play around and see what they've got. The one thing they know they've got is a phenomenal receiver that can help bail them out of trouble anytime they need it. In fact, they got a few of them. But you know what? They've got Will Howard and his ability to extend, to move the pocket, to extend plays, to run if necessary. So I think that gives them the ability to play around a little bit more and just see what happens. See what's going to work. See where they're the smoothest.
Yeah. All right, guys. So let's do this. Now that we've been through that, let's go ahead and dive into, let's do offensive letter grades, shall we?
Sure.
All right. Let's make a grade card. This is always the funnest thing to do every year, in my opinion, Chris, because it seems to make the people the maddest. I love it when they don't play well and we give them a bad grade and we post it on Facebook and some Karen tries to tell us that we're not true fans because we gave them a naughty grade. Oh, shoot. Okay. Offensive statistics yesterday. Let's start there. We had 234 passing yards, 170 rushing yards for a total of 404 yards. That was 6.3 yards per play. We had 24 first downs. We were 9 of 14 on third down, 0 for 1 on fourth down with a time of possession of 25 minutes and 56 seconds. And the stat that I'm most proud of, we had 0 turnovers. So my letter grade on offense yesterday, given that output, I gave them a B+ yesterday. I thought, you know, we were probably solidly at like a C+ in the first half. And I thought we played an A type of game in the second half. So we'll average it out and we'll say B+ on the offense. Chris, what about your letter grade, my man?
Yeah, I went with a B. You know, I know the nerves got him in the first quarter, but it's, you know, you can't completely forget that first quarter either. After the first quarter, we saw steady improvement in that second half. You're right, Eric. They were an A. You know, you asked me at halftime yesterday. I think I had them at a C- originally.
Yeah.
So for them to turn it around that second half and do what they did. And one stat you forgot to leave out or left out there, Eric. How about 0 sacks as well?
Well, you know, that's the Will Howard effect, dude. Yeah.
It is.
Move around in the pocket. That one guy who tried to take him down had a handful of jersey, and he's just like, get off me, dude.
Yeah.
Dude's like 8 foot tall, 300 pounds. I mean, he's huge. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so I went with a B. I think they'll get better as it goes, but B now.
All right, Corey, what letter grade are you going to give the offense for their performance yesterday?
I think I'm with Chris on this one, B. Good solid B. I think C in the first half, A in the second half. They got more. There was obviously some gaping holes in the second half. They wore them down. The passing game was really nice in the second half, efficient. That pass to Carnell Tate, though, ended up going for a touchdown, was just, you know, chef's kiss, beautiful. Yeah. Because not just the pass, the throw was great in the zone there, but Tate with the I don't remember seeing our receivers having that kind of yak since 2018. You know, they just take the ball and they take off. But usually it's like they sit in the zone, get the ball, and then they're done, it seems. But Jeremiah Smith obviously being the A+ of the game because just what a way to debut. And the fact that you saw that video where he called where his first touchdown would be.
Oh, we're going to get there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah. That was great. But I also love that back shoulder throw by Howard. And, like, I'm not here to pick on McCord. He's Syracuse's QB now. I think people are going a little overboard with it. I mean, it's like, a little sensitive about it because it's like he's a former Buckeye. Yes, he was under par, but whatever. That back shoulder throw, I don't remember seeing that last year, you know, that to Jeremiah Smith in the corner end zone for the touchdown. It blew me away. I was like, that is perfect ball placement for a guy with a catch radius of like 19 feet or whatever it is Jeremiah Smith has. But just Howard looked good. Not a low-key important play. This saved a good field goal was when two guys came pretty much free at Will Howard. He dodged them both and then threw the ball away because there's nobody there. I'm like, man, that could have been a sack and ended up being a long field goal or even a possible punt. He he saved us a short field goal. The guy made it. We put points on the board. That's so big going forward. I can't even explain, because against good teams like Oregon, you're going to need to not give up negative plays like that. So Howard was a breath of fresh air in so many different ways. And I give him an A. I think he was a good debut. And to be honest with you, the offensive line and everything, yeah, just the offense, B. I'm sorry, I'm going a little bit too far into it, but B.
So our boy Johnny Olden Jr. is back in the chat, and Steely Matt just busted him good, man. Orgy looked excellent.
He could run. I mean,
not when he's not playing the game.
True. But I mean, that's almost like what their offense needs to be, just be a run option offense with him. That's
oh my gosh.
Because Davis funny. Warren ain't it.
Oh, that looks
bust out
funny.
The wishbone, do it Navy style, right?
You might have to with it. I mean, jeez.
I mean, it's not a bad idea, in all honesty, if you're them.
He's extremely athletic. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go over to the defensive side. All right. So defensively, we gave up 130 passing yards, only 47 on the ground. That's a total of 177 for the game, 2.8 yards per play. The Zips did get 11 first downs. However, they were 4 of 16 on third down and 2 of 3 on fourth down. They did possess the ball for 34 minutes and 3 seconds. However, our defense did create 3 turnovers. I went with an A on the defense. I thought defensively this was what I said we would have 8 games this season where the defense would not give up a touchdown. There's one. So there we're 1 for 1 in this. Defensively, they were flying to the ball. I think after they kind of felt the game kind of went back and forth a little bit, and the game was tight at first, I think Jim Knowles started dialing things up. I remember the blitz where CJ came in on the middle where they had 4, dropped one on the end. He came up the middle. It's a simple blitz. Akron didn't pick it up. He nailed the quarterback. And from that moment on, it was like the defense, the light switch went off. They got very opportunistic. They started playing with confidence. Lathan Ransom was basically on every tackle humanly possible. The defensive line could not be blocked. They are, I kid you not, 12 deep on the offensive line. They can run three groups in there. They're like hockey. You know, it's like they can run. Line shift, and here they come. It's like line change, you know, and they play like the twins from one of our favorite movies, Chris. So, I mean, these guys, that poor quarterback, that was the other one. 8.5 quarterbacks knocked out this season by the defensive line. There's one. This defensive line is nasty, and I love it, and I'm here for all of it. And I'm not even mad at Igbinosin with the stupid kind of rolling hit on the quarterback where he kind of went in with his back and hit him. If you're going to – remember what Ryan said. If you're going to make a mistake being aggressive.
Yeah. Love the old Urban Meyer adage. Yep.
Yep. So I'm going with an A. I'll go with you next, Corey. What grade letter grade are you going to give the defense?
Same A. I love Jim Knowles. I love the defense he's brought to Columbus, because if you guys were around for it, the Kerry Combs defense. If you can't appreciate Jim Knowles after this turnaround, I don't know what to tell people. I mean, is it always perfect? Of course not. No defense is always perfect. But Jack Sawyer, I think Jay Richardson on Twitter or X or whatever said it yesterday. He's like, that quarterback is sick of seeing Jack Sawyer, just tired of him. Because he was just banging him every play. And it was, I felt, when you get to a point where you're the opposing team fan and you're the fan of the opposing team, yeah, and you see that opposing quarterback and you're feeling sorry for him, you know your defensive line's having a good day. JT got 2 sacks, I believe. Kenyatta Jackson was getting on the action. They were getting push up front. The only thing that was killing us early on was the QB running, scrambling. That was about it. And that's going to happen when you have an athletic quarterback like Dalek Bullock. So I think his name is Bullock or whatever in there. They did in a couple of nice scheme plays, like on the third down and short or fourth down and short, whatever it was, when they did that kind of triple option thing out to the tight end. It was okay. That was a good, well-designed play. I'm not mad about it. CJ Hicks, awesome sack when he just ran over the running back and just took on got to the quarterback. They were aggressive. I love the aggressive. And by the way, somebody actually, Michigan fans, when I asked the question on Twitter, is Caleb Downs and Lathan Ransom the best safety duo on paper? If you don't think they are, fine. But I had so many fans tell me, no, Lathan Ransom stinks. No, he does not. Latham Ransom is an awesome player. That dude's almost All-American worthy right now. He's so good. And I think it's sickening that people don't know his name yet, but they're going to know his name this year if he stays healthy for sure. Caleb Downs had a little bit of jitters, obviously some missed tackles, but I am not even remotely worried about him in any way, shape, or form. Denzel Burke showed why he's still a stud. And then I love Egbigmosin's aggressiveness, obviously. So I don't know. The defense has got everything you need. By the way, some backups. Arvil Reese looked really good, I thought.
Yeah.
He's a superhero.
Powers look good.
Dude is chiseled. Powers look really good. God.
Yeah. You got some good depth there that we haven't had at linebacker in several years. I feel like if Cody Simon goes down, God forbid, I don't want that. I feel like we'll still be okay with the guys we got behind him. Sonny Styles is still adapting to linebacker, but he looked good yesterday. So you're right. 12 deep defensive line. It didn't matter who was in there. They were getting to the quarterback.
Yeah. This is one of the reasons why I love the chat right now. They're giving grades to the team up north.
I'll give Michigan their defense is phenomenal. It really is really, really good.
As long as that first string's in there, they're good.
Yeah. No, okay, fair point. Will Johnson got cooked a little bit yesterday.
He did. What we say,
we've
Chris.
We've been saying this all along. Will Johnson is the most overrated player in all of college football.
Now,
I mean, he did make a big play at the end there. But
he and Shedeur Sanders kind of they're fighting for the most overrated.
I'd go with Sanders on the most overrated. But I do think Johnson is the hype. It's a little, when Michigan fans just put him on Jeremiah Smith and we're covered. Like, Smith's going to cook him. They go 1-on-1.
Yeah, I know Johnny. I know he had a pick six. I was watching. Don't worry.
Yeah, against the guy.
That's because that quarterback's an idiot, by the way. You saw Will Johnson cheating on that. Any good quarterback calls an audible, tells him to go route, and he's got a touchdown. Nope, this quarterback mechanically just throws it out there without even looking.
It was telegraphed so bad.
Yep.
I was like, oh my goodness, he telegraphed that.
Yeah. He looks like Honda out there.
Yeah, Kenneth, good question. Am I alone in thinking Arvo will be the LB1 on this team? Let's see Cody Simon.
Let's give it time.
Yeah. First. Let's see Cody Simon first. However, I think LB1 next year. Absolutely.
You know, and I've seen some people, you know, commenting on Sonny and CJ. Guys, let's remember, Sonny just made the move to linebacker this season. This was his first game. And the other thing is he was out of position.
On top of
that, he was playing the mic instead of playing on the outside like he normally would. So
I'm fine with Sonny's going to be fine.
Yeah, he's going to be fine.
Him. Yeah.
I think he's going to be more natural at his position.
I do think CJ's a niche player at this point.
He's a rush guy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's ever going to be the full-on linebacker that people wanted. And it's okay. I'm not knocking him, but I just don't think he's ever going to live up to the potential that we thought he might.
Tyler, this is an incorrect statement. The team up north offensively is not as terrible as
They're
Iowa.
They're worse. Iowa put up 40 yesterday.
Iowa scored 40, but keep in mind, Ferentz wasn't on the sideline, so he didn't have to hold him back. So there was that. But they're as bad as Iowa offensively was.
I bet they take Cade McNamara back right now.
Cade McNamara threw three touchdowns yesterday.
Oh, yeah. All right. Chris, did I let you give your grade yet?
You did not. You did not.
Go for it.
I'm going to go with an A as well, guys. I thought the defense played well. You know, you guys talked about the sacks. You talked about the aggressiveness. How about the fact that we only gave up three plays of more than 10 yards in the entire game?
Didn't even think about that. Wow. Good point.
You know, I mean, and we gave up a 12-yard run to the quarterback, Bullock, a 19-yard reception to Bobby Golden, and a 29-yard reception to Jake Newell. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of those was the one where Denzel tried to jump the route.
Mm-hmm.
And
he missed the tackle.
And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. He's being aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, don't give up three plays of 10 yards or more. These guys were playing a great game.
Who's better, Denzel or Will Johnson, in your mind?
Denzel!
I just wanted to throw that out there.
It's not even close, man.
I think Jermaine Matthews is better than Will Johnson.
Oh, hot take. I like it, though.
It is a hot take. Jermaine Matthews needs to play more.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to be a baller at Ohio State for sure. Keep him. Do whatever you can to keep him on that roster.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a – Jake, if we can get CJ we can get him to get like Micah Parsons down the road,
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's far from that right now.
Mm-hmm. Micah's a one man wrecking crew. I mean, he's scary. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Buckeye Leaf, shall we? It's a tradition like none other. Did you guys see, by the way, as we transition to talking about Buckeye Leafs, that, you know, by the way, the Ohio State helmet is a masterpiece. It is literally a work of art. It's the only thing in college football that grows as the season goes and gets prettier as the season goes. It's the only helmet in college football like that. Others try to replicate it. They fail miserably. They'll never come close to it. But yesterday, everybody did have one sticker on their helmet. And it was Archie's 50, and I loved it. I thought that was so cool.
Archie's on Mount Rushmore.
This is where I will fight you on this, Johnny. This is not something that I am going to take laying down. Denzel is better than Will Johnson. I've been screaming this for two seasons now. Will Johnson is being puffed up by the bought and paid for media out of there. The national media has jumped all over his jockstrap for some reason. I'm telling you, he gives up more plays than Denzel Burke does on a consistent basis. Denzel Burke is the most solid cornerback in the Big Ten, the most consistent cornerback in the Big Ten, and there's no argument to that. Just because he plays for your team doesn't mean. Listen, I'll be the first person to say you guys have the best tight end in the conference. This is
maybe the country.
Maybe the country.
This isn't me being a Buckeye fan and hating on your team. This is me literally saying that my football eyes tell me Denzel Burke is better. He doesn't have the same measurables. I understand that. But this isn't about measurables. This is about film on the field, the play of the game. Denzel Burke is better.
Not only that, you know, and all the Michigan fans like to throw out there, oh, well, Will Johnson gets these interceptions. It's real easy to get an interception when you know the playbook and you know where the ball is coming. That's all I'm going to say.
He didn't even need Connor Stallions for that pick six because that quarterback was like basically telling him, yeah, I'm throwing it right there. Go ahead.
All right, let's go. Let's go Buckeye Leafs. Up first, let's go with the offensive player of the game. Player of the game.
Pick a tough one, Eric.
Okay, I just did. Chris, since you wanted to, think it's tough, go for it.
It was obviously Jeremiah Smith. I mean, come on.
All right.
As a freshman, 6 catches, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's out there catching the ball one-handed because his other hand's being held. Come on. I mean, this guy is a mismatch problem, and I don't care who you are. I don't care if your name is Will Johnson. I don't care if your name is Denzel Burke. You're not covering this guy one-on-one, especially on the outside. You're not. He is a physical mismatch for anyone. He is – I'm just going to say it right now. I've said it before. I'll say it again. He's the best player in the nation today.
Wow.
Man. All right, Johnny, Denzel Burke's interception yesterday was more impressive than Will Johnson's. Go look it up.
Oh, by far.
More impressive.
He literally stole the ball from the guy.
Easily. Okay, so let's see. It's a touchdown by LSU, so we must be set. Are we 7-7 now? Oh, yeah. Wow, look at that. That was impressive. All right, so I think 7-7 is the score.
Are they playing at USC or out at LSU?
Las Vegas.
Oh, so it's like a
neutral site game.
Yeah. Neutral site closer to LA, yeah. I would guess. All right, Jeremiah Smith, I love the video. You alluded it to it earlier, Corey, where he's on a recruiting trip, and they ask him, where are you going to catch your first touchdown pass? And he literally points to the exact spot in the end zone where he caught that touchdown yesterday. That's like calling your own shot, man.
It's his Babe Ruth moment, yep.
It is epic offensive player of the game. Corey, who you got?
I'm going to go – look. Jeremiah Smith's the obvious answer, obviously, but I want to go somebody else.
Go with
an unsung hero that played a great game, got a great PFF score, Seth McLaughlin, the center. Because I honestly, offensive line is the most important thing to me. I need our offensive line. We all need our offensive line to get better and better and better. And it was in the interior of the offensive line was extremely inconsistent last year, but Seth McLaughlin actually had a really good game. if you rewatch it. And I'm going to give him I'm not saying he's the MVP, but I'm going to give him a Buckeye leaf because I thought he had it. He's brought his experience from Alabama, and he's solidified that center position, and he's just going to get better and better going forward. And we have that anchor in the middle of the offensive line. Bring back Donnie Jackson, and we're set.
Yeah. You know, that's a good call on your part, Corey. You know, he was pulling a ton yesterday.
He's extremely athletic. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Good call on your part. Let's go flip over to the defensive side. Your defensive MVP, Chris.
Now, this one is actually tough. I mean, the whole line was great. But you know what? Despite the fact that Denzel had the best pick of the day yesterday, Johnny, by far the best pick of the day, Denzel Burke, despite that, I got to go with Lathan Ransom. Led the team in tackles with 9. You know, had the scoop and score. You know, just tremendous game out of Lathan. And I'll tell you, if he plays like this every week, there's going to be a lot of teams in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Tyler's going with Jack Sawyer as a defensive
MVP. And I can't fault
it.
He crushed the quarterback, you know.
Yeah.
And QB pressures are just as important as sacks these days, according to the analytics of defensive coordinators. Absolutely.
Yeah, Ryan Day's beard. I'm going with Sawyer as well. That QB wanted no part of him. Dude, that poor quarterback on the sideline was trying to check for his pulse at the end of the game. He's like, am I still alive? Like, is my heart still beating? Like,
I think he was literally crying. I really think he was just over my ribs.
Who you got, Corey?
Man, this is a tough one. Gosh, it's a tough one. I didn't even think about defensive MVP. You know what? I'm going to go. Lathan Ransom's a great call. I ain't going to say that. I'm not going to deny that one. Jack Sawyer's a great call. I'm going to go different. Go JT Tuimoloau. He did miss a tackle on the backfield that kind of drove me nuts, but he got a lot of consistent pressure on the quarterback. He sets the edge extremely well. 2 sacks. I'm going to go with JT.
The other thing, he dropped really well into the passing lanes when they were trying to get the ball to the outside.
Yeah.
I think he's lost some weight, actually. He's looking more athletic.
Yeah. He absolutely has. I'm going to go with Jack Sawyer. The chat's going that way. I think having all of us give one Buckeye leaf to all three of those guys, I think, is justifiable. Jack, I wanted to see Jack look like he did in the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we got. So now he's starting to stack games in a row. Even though they're from last year to this year, we're starting to see him stack a
consistent. That's more impressive, though, when you think about it. I mean, it's not easy, but you can, if you do it from game to game to game in the middle of the season, fine. But you literally continue it from over an off season, and you're still doing it. That's actually more impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So I love it. I love Jack Sawyer being kind of a beast there and really putting the fear of God in the quarterbacks, man. We need to see that. You know, eventually you're going to see the other guys too. Even though we saw other guys get in on it, Jack is consistently in the backfield. He's got multiple moves.
Mm.
The little swim move we saw was fantastic.
Spin move.
Yeah. The spin move, the power, the speed. He's got them all, and he's developed that repertoire, and I'm here for all of it.
He's becoming very Bosa-esque.
Nick Bosa, you remind me of Nick Bosa yesterday. Absolutely.
I will take that and put that in the bank.
Every week, please.
All right. Defensive play of the game. The defensive play of the game. Well, this one is going to be – yeah. I'll start with this one. There could be multiple, but I'm going to go with the Caden Curry strip sack, Lathan Ransom scoop and score. It sealed the deal. The game was over before that, but that was kind of like the exclamation point for the defense. And it was a snowball going downhill at that point. But Caden Curry, that was first off, even though the play went by him, he didn't give up. He pursued, came from behind, got the strip, and then the scoop and score was a beautiful thing. That's what I'm going with. What about you, Chris?
You know what? For me, I think it's got to be I'm going to go with Denzel's interception. I think the scoop and score was great. I mean, just the fight that he had to get that interception, you know, the concentration it took to steal that ball away. I'm going to go ahead and take Burke's interception for the defensive play of the game. But, hey, not to be forgotten, let's give a little love to the big man, Tyreek Williams. A couple plays there where he was actually chasing guys down from behind. This defense is on another level, guys.
Yeah. All right, Corey, what you got, man?
Yeah, I took the good ones.
Anyway. Well, I don't know. You know,
there's still another one out there.
Yeah, that's right. Mark just got a good one there.
Yeah.
You know, I was gonna say Powers, because I know it didn't have the biggest impact on the game. It was out of hand already, but the fact it was knocked up by Edrick Houston, the up and coming freshman who's gonna be a monster, we all know it. Thank God he stuck with us. You know, but and then, of course, it was just nice to see young guys. He used to get in the pass lane like he did, bounce off his helmet, and then Powers having the recognition and the speed and the athleticism to get the ball and just take it. Powers, by the way, has completely transformed his body from when he got on Ohio State. Because I remember he was he almost looked like a defensive end when he got here. And now he looks fully like a linebacker. And I'm like, man, Coach Mick did his thing with him. And you saw the athleticism getting down the field quick once he got the ball. Obviously, he was gone. But about the Ransom play, it was funny. I was watching the game with my friend Matt, and as soon as Ransom had the ball in his hands, I literally said out loud, touchdown. No, nobody's going to catch him. He's done. He's gone. That was so obvious. And I love how opportunistic our defense is looking so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Gabe Powers. Chris and I got a chance to meet him. So I've stood beside Gabe Powers. I'm not a small human being. Gabe Powers made me look like I'm a point guard. He is a monster of a human being. He could play defense.
He's like 6'4", isn't he?
Yeah, he could play defensive end. Here's the thing. Like, I think that they kind of, when he came on campus, I think they may have thought he could possibly play D end, and they maybe put a little bit too much weight on him.
Gotcha.
Because he was a running back in high school, too. We're talking, like, trying to be a white man Zeke, tuck the jersey, show my six pack type of kid, and he ain't that right now. And he wasn't that when he got on campus. His dad's a power lifter and football coach, and he's got a little brother, just saying. So we might have another Garrett Stover situation here.
Good. Get the family. Let's make these family affairs here. Get them on campus.
Yeah. And although this isn't defense and we don't give out a special teams
Buckeye leaf.
Ennis is going to return one. There ain't no doubt about it.
How much better are special teams already? I mean, like I'm so glad Ryan Day went with the trestle method of coaching them and split it up amongst coaches. And all of a sudden I was actually, when we watched an Ennis yesterday run and turn punts, I was like, what is this? We haven't seen this in like 8 years. Somebody can return punts. My goodness, he looked great.
Yeah, exactly, Speedman. He was. By the way, Speedman was at the game. So, did you stop at Rax, like we said? Rax. Donald and Karen Rosbach. Will Howard was awesome using his feet to get out of sacks. Plus, he has a good feel for what he's what's going on around him. Ryan Day's beard. Now that's funny, actually, but it's funny because it's true. Parker,
we were all waiting on that news at the end of the offseason. Like, when is it happening? He's got to be gone.
Yeah, exactly. Offensive MVP, man. Offensive play of the game. The offensive play of the game. Pick one from Jeremiah Smith, Chris. Go for it. You start.
Here's the thing. I'm going to go Aaron on you.
Okay.
I talked to Aaron today on the chat, so, you know, I've got to go all Aaron on you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to give Jeremiah's one-handed catch, you know, one of those. But I got to give a special Buckeye leaf to one Travion Henderson. And it wasn't for the running. Man, it was for that block where he just blew up that guy trying to get to the quarterback. He blew him up. That looked like an offensive lineman blocking right there.
That was a thing of
beauty. I got to give one to each of them. They were that good.
Yeah. Oh, that was Speedman. He says, I almost did. Stop and get them junior racks beefs, baby. that block was, that was intense. And he was more pumped up about that than I think just about anything else he did in that game, which tells me the maturity of Trey Henderson to know.
There's a look in his eyes this year, Eric. When you watched him run, every time they would show him on film, there's a look in his eyes. He's hungry.
Yeah. To have to, when you can celebrate a good block and springing your teammate free or allowing that play to develop, and you celebrate that as a team, there's something magical about that. It's not me first. It's not my stats. It's the team, right? And I think Trey has become such a team player, Chris, because of what he has done in accepting a Quinshon on the team, bringing in those. By the way, Quinshon got more carries than Travion did yesterday.
Yeah.
By what was it?
13 to 8, something like that.
13 to 8, 5 more carries. Mm-hmm. Didn't hear him complain about it.
Nope.
He's the opposite of a prima donna, the polar opposite.
Exactly, exactly.
And, you know, people dogged on Quinshon. He averaged 4.2 a carry. That's about what he averaged last season.
He's got to build that chemistry with the offensive line.
That's it. You saw it towards the end of the game. He started to break a couple
of them. Yep. Trey, remember Trey Sermon took him all season basically to get that chemistry, and then all of a sudden you couldn't stop him. So
let it work that well.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for my offensive play of the game. I'm gonna go with J.J. Smith calling a shot. I think that's gonna kind of live in infamy for me. One of the things I'm gonna do this season is I'm gonna make a list of the top 10 plays of the season and just kind of re-rank them as we go along. And we get to the end of the year, we'll have a top 10 list. Him saying, this is where I'm going to catch my first touchdown pass, and then him doing it, that might be tough to beat. I know we probably will have one at some point in the season that'll be tough to beat, but that one for me is play number 1A so far.
Eric,
so
I had to throw that comment up for you just for you, because I know how happy you were when that play went down yesterday.
That was so BS. I'm not getting into it, Chris. We're going to stay positive. That was a touchdown all day long.
He was hot. Let me tell you, he was hot.
I believe it.
The ball moved. It didn't.
I didn't see the ball move at all.
It didn't move. By the way, okay, never mind. That's not
I feel your pain, Eric. I feel your pain, buddy.
Yeah, LSU just got a strip sack. Oh, I think USC got the ball back. Yeah, they did. All right. Yeah, he got robbed. You're right, Sean. He absolutely got robbed. All right, Corey, what was your offensive play of the game, brother?
I'm going, like I mentioned earlier, because I'm a weirdo and this excited me, is when Howard avoided two rushers and threw the ball away to save us an easy field goal. I know it's not a huge thing. Nobody's going to look at it and go on the highlights and go, wow. But to me, I was like, I don't even CJ had trouble with that at times, and I love CJ Stroud, but man, the fact he, like, one offensive lineman, I forgot who was basically ushering the defensive lineman right to Will Howard's grill. He avoided him, the offensive lineman, and the second rusher. Nobody's open, throws the ball away. We have an easy field goal. We get points out of it. Yeah, it's disappointing not to get a touchdown, but the fact he can do that is so huge. I know it's a weird play to go for your favorite play, but I was actually geeking out at that. I was like, wow, that was actually some fancy footwork there. And look how athletic this massive quarterback is. And he made a smart decision by not forcing it. And we got points out of it. To me, those are the kinds of things that win big games.
So you think about it. Go back. What was our biggest knock on Justin Fields?
He kept taking sacks.
He tried to do too much. And we either take a sack or, try to put it into a bad position. Great quarterback, didn't maybe have that maturity to just say, hey, you know what?
Live to find another day.
Live to play another down, you know?
I love that play. I know. It's not a Jeremiah Smith one-handed catch. I understand that. It's not as exciting as all that. But to me, that was like, I don't remember last time we saw that kind of thing. So.
Well, Ryan Day's beard will remind us what we saw last year. If that was Kyle McCord, he would have attended.
Oh, that's a 10-yard loss.
That's grounding, yeah, every time.
Or grounding, whichever, yeah. It's a 10-yard loss. 100%.
Oh, shoot. And he had a good game yesterday. Kyle McCord had good stats.
Yeah.
He had good stats yesterday against Ohio, who is a completely depleted MAC school. They got absolutely.
Yeah, between us and Indiana and Alabama taking their kicker, you know.
Yeah, they all their best players are playing on.
We took their tight end. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Are playing on possible playoff teams, and then you had the quarterback went to where did he end up going to? Their good quarterback went somewhere. The good running back went to Minnesota, I think it was.
Well, Indiana's quarterback is at.
Oh, it's Indiana. That's it. He went to Indiana.
I can't remember if it was Indiana or Maryland. I knew it was one of those.
Yeah. So
I'm hoping he has a good season. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I hope he does well. I mean, he's just not a good fit for Ohio State. Hopefully he's a good fit there. We got our guy. Will Howard's a player.
Nobody else in the ACC wants to win it, so why not?
We're all hard on McCord. You know what? You could have him. And he probably would actually be an upgrade for
And they would probably take him at this point.
Michigan would definitely take him. He'd be their best quarterback easily right now.
Yeah.
Probably the best one since Brady.
Listen,
better than JJ?
Don't get me started on how inept JJ actually was.
I mean, he's overrated, but I mean, JJ's definitely better than what they had yesterday.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. Mm.
Correction, Chris. Bama took Miami's kicker.
I wanted that guy. I was hoping we would get him, too. I was hoping.
Yeah, he's good.
Miami's, yeah.
It's going to be Syracuse and Miami Hurricanes conference in ACC. Who knows what's going to come out of that one?
Some people were predicting Syracuse will make the playoff.
I'm not going that far.
I'm not either. I think the ACC gets.
Although their schedule is so soft.
It is. Miami's really their only big game.
And I can't tell if Cam Ward is that good or if Florida is just that much of a disaster. I just don't know for sure right now. Yes to both.
Yes is the question. All right, answer
you. That's fair.
All right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. Get your questions ready. We want to answer your questions this evening. So make sure you put those in the chat. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with you guys.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies.
Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
Ten-7 USC with 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. LSU's got the ball at midfield. So there's your update on that game. All right. So while you guys type your questions or topics you want us to discuss here in the second part of the show, in the chat, Chris, this week we move on to Western Michigan. So we're going to turn the page now. And let's talk a little bit about the offense, play calling, and Chip Kelly. What was the biggest difference you saw from last year and the previous years under Ryan Day's play calling and what you witnessed yesterday under Chip Kelly? What was the biggest difference in your mind?
The movement of the offensive line. I think the way that we had everybody pulling around, the fact that we used the athleticism and guys, I mean, let's call it what it is. This offensive line for the last few years has not been stellar. It just has not. And what Chip Kelly did is kind of coaching to their strengths, using that athleticism. And that's going to cover up some of the shortcomings of some of these guys. I think once Donovan's back in there, this offensive line is going to be a pretty good offensive line. We even saw Simmons. Now, he was a little bit inconsistent at times yesterday, but even Simmons was moving around a little bit out there, you know. I think he started out very flat-footed, but, you know, as the game went on, he moved around as well. So I think that the running schemes are going to be beneficial as – and I wondered if that a little bit wasn't part of the slow start too, as these guys trying to get used to – moving in these running schemes. You know, that may have been some of the reason that the holes weren't there in the first quarter that opened up as we got further into the game. So for me, that's the biggest difference for me, was the offensive line.
What about for you, Corey?
I think it's a good point by Chris about the pulling. We haven't seen that with Ryan Day as much. They usually stay in a box, it seems. But I think that's Chris, that's a great point what you're making, that might be why we saw some struggles with it, because it's a getting out in open field and finding your assignment it's the hardest adjustment they got to make, since it's so many years of just basically just trying to force our will and do a little zone blocking and things like that. But I think it'll get better as the season goes. I like the RPOs that they were running. It wasn't too many design QB runs. I think we'll see more of it going on, but I like the fact that when you get into the red zone, you have that option. And I feel like Chip Kelly will use that option, whereas Ryan Day really, even with Justin Fields, really kind of wouldn't. It definitely felt different, the play calling. Rhythm. Sorry, that's the word I was looking for yesterday. So I definitely think it'll just get better as more as Chip Kelly finds what the strengths are versus actual opponents as we go on through the season. Thank God Oregon's down the road and not next week, you know, so it'd be a little bit tough. Now, granted, the way they struggle with Idaho, I don't know.
I don't know. We might have won it next week before they start getting into a rhythm.
That's a good point. At first, when going into the season, I'm like, thank God Oregon's week 6 or whatever. Now I'm like, after I see him against Idaho, I'm thinking, well, we could have beat him yesterday. But I agree. I think the offensive line pulling is a great observation by Chris there. I think that makes the most sense.
I'm a little worried we're still moving a little too fast offensively, although I think they talked about trying to slow down a little bit, that Chip wanted to slow things down a little bit. Look at the time of possession. That's one of the things that teams are going to try to do to us is limit possessions. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to slow down. And Chip kind of – I think that's against his nature, because he wants to go fast and, you know, the whole greatest show on turf type of thing, basketball on turf and run fast and get in a rhythm and all of that. And I think he's trying to adapt to maybe a little bit of the NFL style of let's huddle it up, let's make sure we get the right play call in, et cetera. And that's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to get used to that.
Well, with the new mic and the helmet, it makes sense to go slower because it's not signals where everybody sees them now. It's the quarterback's got to relay what's going on.
Well, and I forget who it was made this analogy, and it was really good that, like, even though it appeared like we were moving faster, how many times did we go up to the line of scrimmage, fake clap, and everybody stands up and looks over to the side, gets the play call, then comes back. And, like, it's really not that different as far as timing. Mm-hmm. It just appears that way because we're not running up the line of scrimmage immediately after the end of the play. But every now and then, I think they will. I think they'll surprise some people and be like, hey, after the first down, let's run up and we're going to run this play. That's something I think is in the repertoire. A couple questions here that were really good. Ryan Day's beard. What's Ohio State doing with Bryce West? Is he redshirting? That question crossed my mind yesterday. We saw Aaron Scott. He got in the game at the end. I'm not surprised that Aaron Scott got playing time yesterday over Bryce West. But here's the thing. We have three starting cornerbacks. We might as well put Jermaine Matthews Jr. in that. Yeah. He's good enough to start. And he's going to play. And he needs to play more. You know, with the depth that we have at that position, maybe it is a good thing that we do redshirt Bryce West. So
hasn't he been banged up a little bit in camp?
Has he?
I think I read where he was. Yeah, a little bit banged up here and there. So they might be just, look, it's just, we'll just get your body right this year type of thing.
Yeah. So maybe with those two things coupled together, it's a good idea to redshirt him.
And you got Calvin Simpson Hunt there. And I mean, you got depth, like you said.
Right. Another good question from Ryan Day's beard. Is USC's defense going to be decent this year? So far, so good.
Is it that, or is it just a Jaden Daniels-less LSU team isn't near as potent on offense?
Week one, you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time will tell, right? I do know this much. They can't get much worse.
Is Grinch employed anywhere? Did he get hired by anybody? Well,
Bryce and Shaw has graduated now, right?
Yeah,
so he's not back there anymore, screwing things up on defense. So that's going to help him out.
And I thought he was going to be a nice player. I was so stupidly wrong on that one.
You would not believe where he is at. You've got to be flipping kidding me.
Uh oh.
This makes me question the head coach's decision here. He is the co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach. At a Big Ten school.
Michigan?
Wisconsin? Wisconsin. Fick, what are you doing, Fickle?
That's weird. Yeah, I think I thought Fick was going to go get Eliano off the free agent market there, but he didn't went to Toledo. But Grinch, I don't get that one.
Maybe they can work out a trade.
Well, Eliano stayed in Columbus, didn't he?
No, I know he went to Toledo.
Yeah. No, I mean he might be living there.
Yeah,
yeah. Like he stayed. His family stayed in Columbus. I heard.
He probably did. I was kind of. I remember thinking, man, I thought he was a decent safeties coach. Just had recruiting troubles, but I guess I thought he'd get a bigger job in Toledo. But whatever.
Yeah. Good point, Ryan Day's beard. I love we are rotating the defensive guys. We're losing a lot to the draft. Mm-hmm. They need playing time. We start with Texas next season. This is a drum we've been banging all offseason. We have got to rotate. We have got to get more people into the games for two reasons. Number one, there's nothing worse than starting off the next season with people who have zero game reps because you refuse to rotate, and especially in times and meaningless situations. Get these guys in the game when the game still matters too. Like that's the thing. There's a difference between game reps that count and game reps at the end of the game where you're just like, yeah, let's get out of here. And that's the other thing on offense, run the stinking offense.
Yes.
I don't care about people's feelings. Do you think Greg Schiano cares about how Howard's coach feels about him running up the score? I love what Chris Spielman used to say. My job is to score. Your job is to stop it. If you can't stop it, do your job better. That's not my fault. That's not my fault. So you know what? We pulled our starters out. We were running our second, third team, whoever. If you still can't stop our second or third team, that's on you, not me. That's how I feel about it. I will always feel that way about it. It's not about your feelings. It's about the scoreboard at the end of the game. And that's just the way
it's about good experience for my guys. I don't care if your guys can't stop it. You know,
right.
It,
exactly.
You know, Steve Spurrier used to laugh at Vanderbilt when they were really, really bad. And he'd say, if you don't drop your, I mean, he'd get a second string quarterback on there. If you don't drop your safeties back, I'm going to throw over your head all night. I don't care. You know, he'd put 70 on them. I love that mentality. It's like, that's your problem, not mine.
Yeah. Speaking of Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Holy Toledo, Virginia Tech.
That's Rutgers, a program is a mess.
Rutgers' schedule just got even easier. Yeah,
I think every Rutgers person looked at that game and went, all right.
I got to give Shiano credit, too, because he's got Rutgers respectable. And they were a doormat for a minute there. And it's like, now they're not saying they're going to beat us, but, you know, they give us a little tougher game than they used to.
Is this about Bryce West? Mark Swick said that he had a bad
week. No, it's about the punter, McClarty.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
He had a rough weekend practice last week, and that's
consistency
why he
consistency is important, dude. Consistency. Hey, listen.
You stink leading up to a game. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not something you want to do.
Do the routine things routinely. If you don't, you're going to be sitting.
That's fine. Good. I like that mentality. Either you perform or you don't. Goodbye.
Any concern about our offensive line not having chemistry because of the hand-foot-mouth disease that was going around the offensive line in fall camp? And the fact that we started the first game without really all five of our starting offensive linemen. Any concern about chemistry, Corey?
No, I actually like the fact that we got I don't know what it is. I can't ever say these names. You know me.
Austin.
I'll say Austin, yes. I'm glad we got the experience of these younger guys in there. I think it's good to do it for Akron. Chemistry, they've been practicing together all offseason. I don't know. When he gets in there, you just got to hope they perform. That's Justin Fry's job to build that chemistry with them. I'm not saying I'm totally confident in Justin Fry at the moment, but that being said, I don't worry about it because if he's hurt, he's hurt. He can't play. You know, he's still one of your best five. So when he gets in there, just put him in there and then you just do the best you can.
Chris, get your response on this one. It was
The Rushman package.
It was awesome to see the four DEs, defensive ends on third down, the Rushman package. Your thoughts, buddy?
I love it. You know, it was something I don't think we could do last year because the confidence wasn't quite there. I think there was just too much of a drop-off between that first tier of guys and the second string guys to have the confidence to be able to do that. But you know what? We have the guys who have the size and the athleticism to do it. By all means, you know, bring it in there. And you know what? That's just another package that our opponents are going to have to prepare for. If we get those four guys in there at the same time on third down, and you know, I would almost like to see him put the Rushman package in there and then throw CJ in there as well, a linebacker on that Rushman package, and just keep you wondering who's going to take you down because you know somebody's getting to your quarterback with that group in there.
Mm-hmm. Or what about, what's his name at the Cowboy? Mitchell Melton.
Melton. He had a great game. Absolutely.
He's a nice player.
He looked good.
Healthy for the first time in a few years now, and you know, he's showing it.
That's one of Al Washington's specialties, getting that.
Jake likes your suggestion, Chris. He thinks he would agree adding CJ to the Rushman package. Ryan Day's Beard, this one's for you, Corey. Do you guys think the offense is going to be high octane all year due to the fact that Day has a true offensive coordinator? I feel like he missed that in the last few years.
I think the offense is going to be less clunky anyway, simply because Ryan Day is wearing too many hats. And I don't love having a head coach that calls the plays. Getting Chip Kelly was a godsend, and I'm so glad Ryan Day could figure out that he needs to be CEO rather than the offensive coordinator. I think the offense is going to get better as the year goes on, less clunky. I think there's going to be times where they put the pedal to the metal, times they pull it back. I think that just knowing, having the feel when you could do that as an offensive coordinator during a game is going to be huge because Chip Kelly can focus just on the offense where Ryan Day had to focus on every stupid thing that was going wrong during the game. So I definitely think it's going to be an improvement this year.
Yeah. Chris, Sean says, I think we need to run the RPO sooner and more often. You agree or disagree or why?
I love the RPO. We've got the quarterback that can do it. I say we show it. I don't know how much I want to run it consistently. I'm I mean, obviously, we got receivers we got to feed too. So, you know, if it's in the flow of the game, if it's there, then I say, yeah, by all means, take it. But the one great thing about Chip Kelly is whatever the other team is prepared for, Chip's going to run just the opposite. Whatever they give us is what he's going to take. If the RPO is there, he's going to take the RPO. If, you know, if we're getting one-on-one coverage on the outside on Jeremiah and Carnell, he's going to go to that. If we're getting Emeka, you know, opening the slot across the middle, we're going to see a lot of crossing routes. Chip Kelly is a great offensive mind, and when he sees what's open, that's what he's going to run.
I loved what Will Howard said when talking about taking what they're giving you. Will Howard said, I saw one-on-one coverage with JJ, and I knew that that's where I was going with the football immediately. Yeah. To me, it's like, yeah, you don't have to second guess that. That's something that's auto all year long. Speaking of quarterback, Sean asks a really good question, Florida Corey. Mm-hmm. I think they need to get Sane or Air into the game instead of Devin Brown. Your thoughts?
Yes, 1,000%. Yeah, it'll be Sane if they do that, but obviously, because I think he's right now the heir apparent. But look, Devin's not going to be a starter next year. It's just not. It's not going to happen. And quite frankly, every Devin Brown state. I don't hate Devin Brown, but he's not going to be a starter at Ohio State ever, in my opinion. It just Julian Sands, the next guy. Will Howard is a really nice stopgap for now, who can run, has the experience to run the team that we have on the field this year. Julian Sands is probably 98% the guy next year. Get him on the field. Don't go into Texas next year, the Texas game next year, with him having no game reps or no game experience. Please don't do that. Get him in whenever we have an opportunity. I don't care who it's against. I don't care if you're up on Penn State by 40 in the fourth quarter, get Sane in there. You know, I don't care who it's against. It's not going to happen against Penn State, but you get my point. I'm just saying, absolutely agree. Get Sane in there and let him have the reps. I understand you want to be nice to Devin Brown. He's technically the backup, but I got to believe if, God forbid, I'm knocking on wood, if Will Howard went down, I think they'd actually roll with Sane the rest of the year.
Here's the thing, though, and I don't totally disagree with you, Corey, but I would say, in the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. You know, I think Sane is probably the heir apparent in most people's mind, but Aaron Nolan is not just going to hand him that job. And there's a freshman coming in and Sinclair, who's going to be fighting for that as well. So, you know, I agree with you. Devin Brown is probably never going to be a starter at Ohio State. Lincoln Keenholz is never going to be a starter at Ohio State.
I'm surprised Lincoln stayed.
Not that I dislike either of these young men. And I appreciate their gumption and their desire to stay. But the fact is, I'm with you. I think that they need to get Sane. And you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing him getting air in the game a little bit. You know, you've got five games to play with him before you have to redshirt him, mm-hmm. right? So get both these guys some snaps. You know, let air get out there, run a little bit of RPO, and, you know, put up the ball a few times. But, yeah, they've got to get those guys in there. Because I'll tell you what, that quarterback battle next spring, oh my. Oh my.
Well, Lincoln, he can go back to North or South Dakota right now and be an absolute star for one of those schools because he's a legend, high school legend there. So I'm with you, Corey. I'm kind of surprised he's still on this roster, to be honest with you. Tyler. Well,
we had heard at one point that he was going to transfer out to Iowa.
Iowa, yeah, was the rumor. Tyler, let's talk tight ends. I thought for sure they would give G. Scott every opportunity in his fifth and final year to prove that he can be that guy. And he just wasn't out there very much. And if he is, he's lost in the sauce because you don't notice it. That when Thayer Munford's out there, or not Thayer Munford,
if Thayer Munford's out there, not only are we going to be getting a call from the NCAA, but we're in trouble if we got
Munford. He lost a lot of weight. He's got another year of eligibility. He's going to be a tight end.
Man.
Jelani Thurman.
The TH got me on that one. You notice when Thurman's on the field. His physical presence, his strength, and the blocking game is there. And I think he can be a weapon. Case Merrick again, I didn't see him miss any blocks, but but I'm telling you, my heart hurts for G. Scott because I love the kid. I love his father. I think he's a great family. He made that switch to tight end after being a highly, highly recruited wide receiver from Washington. Made the switch to tight end. Trusted that process. Didn't jump in the portal. Has stayed true to his brothers and the brotherhood and his teammates for 5 years. Is a team leader. The dude like preaches sermons at churches around Columbus. Like the guy is like everything you would want in a Buckeye, but he again, what? You just don't see it on the field.
You know what though? Maybe he is lost in that mix a little bit, Eric. I mean, maybe they just don't know what to do with him completely. He's not, you know, like you say, he's not really a wide receiver. He's not really a tight end at this point. I mean, they probably are going to come up with some special packages for him, I imagine. But I just don't see him being the every down guy. I think you got to move to Jelani Thurman at this point.
Yeah.
Well, basically, all our tight ends are extra offensive linemen at the moment. Anyway, even Jelani Thurman, who I do like a lot, I think he's got a bright future. It's just, in fact, that block by Henderson, Johnny's like waiting there. He's like, he's about ready to take the guy. And then Henderson comes out of nowhere and sideswipes. But I agree. I hate to say I love G2. I think he's a great kid. I think he's a great Buckeye. He's obviously not going to be an NFL player. He seems like he's setting up for the next round of his life, but yeah, it's never really panned out for him. And I don't see all of a sudden him becoming that guy. I mean, right now we're at a massive downgrade from Cade Stover last year. I don't know who's going to pick up that mantle, but maybe the offense doesn't really gear towards the tight end. Maybe we'll see Thurman start to break out later in the year. I don't know, but I would just make Thurman the starter and say just deal with any kind of young mistakes he has or whatever and let him grow and then let Will be the second tight end and let him be just the extra offensive lineman on the field. Maybe make a catch or two once in a while. But G's just I've never seen him as a tight end. He's not big enough. You know, he's not a blocker and he hasn't really created those mismatches a lot of people were calling for him to make against linebackers early on in his career. Like, oh man, him as a tight end, maybe mid linebackers are gonna have trouble with it. Well, it hasn't happened. So, even when CJ was the quarterback, so I don't know.
And there's a good question here, you know, and or a statement more than a question. Is it development? Is that part of the problem as well?
I can't say it is look at what they did with Cade Stover. The dude was a linebacker, defensive end, back the linebacker to tight end, back the linebacker for a third time, back the tight end, and became one of the better tight ends in Ohio State history.
Cade's special, though.
Well, he's a special human being, not just a special ball player.
As a ball player, he's got a special mentality about him.
He won our Buckeye of the Year award twice.
Yeah.
Because of that mentality, I'll never forget him. Absolutely.
Because cows don't take days off, Eric.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I'll never forget him chewing out the offensive line in the bowl game last year. Like he was the only one on the offense that seemed like he gave a darn.
Yeah.
You know, and so do we have that guy in the tight end room? Obviously not. Not right now.
No.
That is obvious. Can we develop one? Hopefully. Jelani Thurman came in with he's the highest ranked tight end I think we've recruited since Dudley.
I say Ricky Dudley probably, yeah.
And that I remember basketball than anything.
There's a couple 4-stars in the Tressel era that didn't pan out, but they were highly ranked. I just struggle to remember their names right now. But I remember one of them made it in the practice squad for Washington for a little bit. Oh, what's his name? It doesn't matter. But yeah, we've had a couple of highly recruited guys. I mean, Jeremy Ruckert was a 5-star. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Jeremy Ruckert. That's right. But again, yeah, he did well. He did good. Mm-hmm. I think he was a pretty good pass catching tight end. It took him a while to develop the physicality to be on the line. I think it was about like his end of sophomore year.
Farrell was a better blocker than him by far. But.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing Stover couldn't do is block in space, but everything else he could do pretty well. Great receiver, great receiving tight end. It shocked me. I did not think he'd be that big of a receiving tight end.
Oh, Speedman, why would they switch a guy from linebacker to tight end and he still be the best option within a year because of his talent? Because he's special. Tight end is tricky. It is the only position in football where you have to develop two positions.
Yeah.
You have to be and Ohio State has made it perfectly clear that you don't get to play until you learn how to block first. That started with Urban and has continued on with Ryan Day. Like, yeah, you can be a weapon, but if you can't block, you're not playing. And so then they come in for the first 2 years and they're basically working with the offensive linemen. And then I think maybe that affects their development as a receiving tight end because you've spent 2 years working on your physicality. It's always been the tight end position at Ohio State has always been an issue and a talking point for this fan base. Always. And it's never going to change in our lifetime. I thought maybe under Chip Kelly we would because he loves to use 12 set, personnel and tight ends in the passing game. And I don't know. Chip Kelly must have come in and been like, it ain't here, so we can't use it.
Maybe we see it. We may see it against Western Michigan. Like I said, I don't know that Chip Kelly knows what he's doing just yet.
He may see our tight end room and say, not this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Jake, that's right. That's exactly how the NFL is. But the difference is by the time you get to the NFL, you've already been developed.
Yeah.
So you better be able to do both. Hey, good. Hey, thanks for coming in, Ryan Daysbeard. Good to have you with us, man. Thanks for stopping in. Appreciate you.
Love that conversation. Name. Yeah. Ryan Daysbeard. Yeah, absolutely love that name. Yeah.
It's real. It's 100% real. He confirmed it for me. So I don't know, guys. You're right, Chris. Maybe we shouldn't get too emotional about that position yet. Let's see what Chip Kelly can stir up here offensively.
My friend Dylan Freeman says it best, like back when Olave and Wilson and Nick Jigba were here and everybody's complaining about the tight end. It's just like, well, do you want to take the ball out of their hands? Do you want to take the ball out of the running back's hands? It's like, look, we got it running back. Do you want to take the ball out of their hands? Do you want to take the ball out of Jeremiah Smith's hands? At this point, it's almost like a non-factor anyway. It always has been. It hasn't really slowed us down. As long as they can block in the run game, it seems like that's all we need them for. I almost feel bad for Keenan Bailey. It's like his guys will never really get focused on in the offense. So who do you not distribute the ball to in order to get it to Will Kazmarek or what's his name? I can't see
that. Kazmarek,
yeah. Who do you not get the ball to? Sorry, Mecca. It's Will's time, It's like, what do you do?
Yeah. A lot of dogs there that want to eat, not a whole lot of biscuits go around.
Exactly. 100%.
And when you emphasize the running game to try to build on the idea that you're a tough program.
Ryan's obsessed with that now.
Yeah, he is. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
If you to do that, you're going to need those tight ends to be special blockers. So, that's a good point, Chris. Maybe it's time we call up one of our former tight ends and get him on the show. Talk about this issue.
Oh, he was great the last time he was here.
Yeah,
so.
When we talked that when Ben Hartsock came on the show, Sean, at the time, we did have Farmer Gronk at tight end, or as we like to call him, Cade the Combine Stover. And Ben was like, the dude's a stud. He's a star. Absolutely.
He made the Houston Texans, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's their third tight end right now.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'm glad he made a team, man. Go get that paycheck.
And look for that to move up because he's going to get comfortable with CJ.
Oh, yeah.
And I did notice this, Christopher Sowers. This is a good point. They did have Jelani split out a couple times in the red zone.
Yes.
There's a package there. There's something there. They just didn't reveal it against Akron, and rightfully so. There's no reason to.
We needed it. We needed it to win the game. actually impressive about Thurman? His length. It's like you watch him out there. He looks like a skinny 240, but his length is ridiculous. His arms are just ridiculously long. It makes sense to put him on. Imagine him on one side, Jeremiah Smith on the other side, and he could throw a fade to either one of them. It's just like it's unfair almost.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. I'm perfectly fine with it.
Have at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Buckeye Minute. This is a good question because I don't think they used more than 30% of the playbook. Well, how much percentage do you think we saw yesterday? I'm going to probably go less than 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that. In that 20 to 30%. Yeah, easily. Somewhere around there.
There's a whole lot more meat on that bone. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, we didn't even see Caleb Downs run the ball. So.
Right. there's a lot more in the QB run department.
Yeah, easily. Easily.
There's a whole lot more there. There's a lot more schematically in the running game that Chip can draw up that we didn't see. Chip is notorious for misdirection stuff. And we saw very little of that yesterday. So there's a lot more there than what we got to see yesterday. All right. So turning the page real quick, Chris and I got an interview with a gentleman who runs a Mac podcast. He'll be coming on for an interview tomorrow. We'll be dropping our Western Michigan preview on Wednesday. So now that Akron's in the rearview mirror and Western Michigan's out ahead, did any of you watch the Wisconsin-Western Michigan game?
Don't sleep on Western Michigan.
14-13, Western Michigan led in the fourth quarter of that bad boy. The Wisconsin student section was playing jump around, and Western Michigan took the lead on like the very next play of the fourth quarter. And I thought, Lord have mercy, this is ugly. Wisconsin did come back to win 28-14. Western Michigan is not an upper echelon MAC school. They are mid-level MAC. They're slightly better than Akron, so we're getting a step up, but not much this week. And I love the saying, Woody Hayes used to preach this all the time, the most growth you will see in a football team is between weeks one and weeks two. So in closing, what would you like to see this team emphasize and get better on from week one to week two? Chris, I'll start with you.
I think we just got to make sure we get crisp on the offensive line. Make sure that we, in this complex scheme, we have it down, we understand our assignments, and we're actually getting to our assignments. I think that's the biggest thing. Defensively, I think it's just about continuing to improve, getting the snaps to those young guys so they have the opportunity to grow. Because I'll tell you what, there's no lack of talent on that line. There's no lack of talent anywhere on this team. I think it's just a matter of growth and development. And, if they keep growing, like I said, this is going to be a phenomenal team.
Corey?
Chris hit on the offensive line. Definitely want to see them more crisp. I want to see the run game more consistent. I want to see us getting those third and short and be able to make them easily enough, and that I think that's a big thing going forward, is we still seem to like get a little iffy on that, even against Akron a little bit at times. So I definitely want to see the run game more consistent, because that's the thing we all came into this season, right? We thought two running backs, experienced offensive line, run game should be pretty good. And it was kind of up and down against Akron. So I want to see that more consistent.
Okay. I agree. It's offensive, all offensively, the O-line, continue to see. I want to see us start fast.
Yeah.
That to me is the biggest thing, is if we can come out and we get points on our first drive, or we score on our first drive, I think the rest that will set the tone for the rest of the game. And whether that's through the ground or through the air, on the ground or through the air, I could care less, but I would like to see the offense start faster. Now, I think what can help with that is the fact that Chip will have film on Western Michigan to look at, that he can try to find things to exploit early. There was no film on what Akron was going to do first game of the year. So you're kind of flying blindly. And like Ryan Day likes to say, you're just kind of playing against yourself, and it's all about improving yourself, not really your opponent in that first game. Next year, we don't get that. Next year, you start off with Texas. And so it's bada boom, bada bing. You got to be like Georgia was on Saturday and just absolutely annihilate your opponent. no matter how good they're perceived to be.
We get Arch Manning next year. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be an ESCCP in love fest is what that's going to be. But yeah, we need to start faster this week. And so I want to see how they come out. And it's at night. It's a night game in the shoe. So the crowd's going to be liquored up and they're going to be loud and proud. So I would like to see us, you know, get off to an earlier lead, more so bigger lead early is what I'm looking for. Tyler says, but Eric, Chris, Corey, how much is that telling on how it moved on me? How is that telling on how good Wisconsin is this year? No disrespect to Western Michigan, but seriously, they did not look good at Wisconsin. No, they didn't.
Nope.
They absolutely did not. So, whew. And Donald reminds me that the halftime score with Georgia was only 6-0. Here's the thing. Clemson offensively is awful. Awful.
They're
and that defense was... That defense was gassed. Renata says, Eric, where's Sarah? She's downstairs. She was in the chat earlier, so she's probably petting her dog. So that's where Sarah's at. All right. One more question. Buckeye Minute. Do you think Sane gets snaps this year? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If he's going to be the heir apparent in 2025, like Corey said, we got to get him snaps this year. You got to get him ready because he needs to be ready for Texas. So
yeah, please don't go ahead and go completely green into Texas next year. Please don't do that. John Cooper made that mistake. Don't be John Cooper.
Yeah.
Just think back to what happened with CJ. That Minnesota game, they don't lose Ibrahim. I don't know that we walk out of there with a win.
And the first half was brutal.
Yeah. Does it drive you guys crazy as well when a coach says, well, we weren't balanced, and I'd like to see that change after a big win? You got to take what the defense will give you. Yeah.
They got a script there. They just read off.
Yes and yes.
Well, yeah. Ryan, that's something else Ryan Day is – that goes hand in hand with the whole, we need to be more physical in the running game late in the season is what that is all about for Ryan Day.
For Eric, that ranks right up there with next man up.
No, it's not nearly as bad as next man up. I hate that with a passion. And Corey, here's the thing about next man up.
Jeremiah Smith got injured. Next man up.
What if the next man up sucks? Yeah.
Then the next man up after that.
Well, it is the most lamest go-to that people, got hurt. Next man up. Sometimes the player who got hurt is your reason why you were winning.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like, I can't tell you how many times in sports I have seen a team tank after they had a bad injury. So don't give me the whole
cliche. I'm a Packers fan. If Aaron got hurt and they said next man up, we all laughed at him. Like, okay, sure.
Hey, Jordan Love was all right.
Yeah, but not 3 years ago he wouldn't. 3 years ago he was pretty bad. I did not think he was the guy because I was like, wow, he's terrible. But he developed. He got better.
Yeah, Donald, you're absolutely right. Ryan Day is becoming a broken record in his post-game press conference.
I don't even watch his post-game anymore. Who cares?
I love his – well, we're going to have to watch the film. That's
yeah.
Any tough question he gets, well, we're going to have to go watch the film. It's like
– it's the script.
Come on, man. Like, are you watching the same game we are, bro? We know you are.
Hey,
we just don't want to answer.
Renat threw one out for me, and I'm going to say I do think that at some point Air is going to get a few snaps this season. I don't know how many, but I think he gets a couple. Lincoln, I just don't think so.
Hey, throw Troy's question up or comment. That one's right at – that one's for me.
Oh, I see it.
There we go.
That didn't happen a few years ago in the defensive backfield, did it, Troy? Yikes.
You all saw the drop off in the defense from 19 to 20. That wasn't just because we lost halfway. That was because we lost all that friggin' talent. Like, next man up, Chase Young, it's gone. Okay.
Yeah. How do you next man up, Chase Young? You know?
You don't.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't. Oh, it's like, oh, look, Okuda and Arnett are gone, and Jordan Fuller's gone. Next man up. Yeah. Yeah, all seven right. Banks.
Corey, tell everybody about the Scarlet and Great Scarlet and Game podcast, man.
Ohio State football with Scarlet and Great on YouTube, guys. Go check it out. Right now, Johnny's running the show, but you'll enjoy what Johnny has to say. He is always brutally honest. So.
There you guys have it, man. Like, share, subscribe. We really do appreciate it. We got up the, looks like 89 right now, and we got up
92.
To 92. So we were hovering over 90. So good show tonight for a holiday weekend. That I'll take that, man. That's a good number. So appreciate each and every single one of you who decided to spend your Sunday evening with us. We will be back. Be on the lookout for Tuesday night. The Buckeye Boys will have their show, their live show Tuesday night, I think 8:15. Chris and I will be back for the call-in show Thursday evening at around 8 o'clock. And then we'll have another call-in show this upcoming weekend after the games, guys. So a lot of good content coming your way. And the preview will be coming out Thursday. That'll be dropping Thursday right there on your lap. So make sure you ring the bell, get notified so you don't miss it, guys. As always, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen, Ohio with all your heart. Till next time, OH.
I owe.
Go Bucks.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.